I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I'm dancing, but I'm actually very stressed.
Because, you know, I'm with you on the stress.
Dancing off the stress.
It was a lot. Hey.
This is what we do on the stress.
Yeah, we're just bringing it around. What's up, guys? Happy Super Tuesday. Hope you guys got out there and voted if it was your election day today, because you already know. But we're back for another episode of Black Lightning and OMBL. There's a lot to talk about tonight, but before we get into tonight's crazy episode, let me introduce you guys to my team. To my left, I saw a new nickname for you today. It's our girl Zuzu.
Hey, Zuzu!
Zuzu! It's Zuri in the building. And to the very end, it's the Princess of Freeland herself. Rocking the yellow, you know,
what up, though?
Black Lightning. It's our girl Portia Cotta.
How y'all doing?
She's stressed and she's
yeah.
There's a lot to get into tonight, and it's me, your girl Drew J. I voted. I hope you did too. Let me know in the comments if you guys voted, and you'll get an extra entry into our Black Lightning giveaway, which we will be doing next week. So stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear what we're giving away. Guys, what were your all's thoughts of tonight's episode?
This really had me like on the edge of my seat. I was really stressed, like a whole lot of anxiety. I was, you know, my heart was beating. I was breathing hard. I was like, this is one of those things that makes you curious to see, okay, what the heck is about to happen next? That's, you know,
I've been very candid about being a scary cat on this show. Like, it's CW and I have to watch it like this. But this was the first episode I could actually watch, because it wasn't a lot of like crazy fighting scenes outside of Khalil and himself and Gravedigger and Jin, which lasted 0.5 seconds. Sorry, girl. Hoping for better next episode. Or next season. But yeah, so I was able to watch it, and I'm glad that like we got some Gravedigger story, because I know Queen DC here is usually breaking it down for us, but he broke it down themselves. So.
Yeah, they did. I loved tonight's episode. There were so many little history tidbits in there that we'll get into. And I also just think Gravedigger is the big bad that we deserve. That Black Lightning deserves. Like, this has been a villain that I'm like excited to watch how it plays out, because.
But is he really a villain?
That's what I'm saying. I like that there's a morality to him. And it kind of makes you go, well,
yeah. I kind of feel like he has a great cause. The issue is, everybody don't want to go to Markovia. It's just like, why we got to migrate? You know what I'm saying? That's just like, all the Black people got to go to Africa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we can be free. Like, let's have our freedom wherever we want to be. How do we gain freedom and then we're confined to one area again? That's not free.
Let's talk about Gravedigger, because we do get a backstory on him a little bit more than we did last week. And we find out why he's named Gravedigger. And it's because during the war, he and the colored army, as he called them and as they are called in history, one of their jobs was to bury all of the soldiers. And so he said, you know, no matter who it is, I believe every soldier deserves, or every opponent deserves, a proper burial. So I take time to bury everyone.
Everybody. And even his opponents. Yeah. I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
So, when soldiers die, this is real world. When soldiers die in the real world, you know, they send the commanders and everybody to their families, and then they give them this flag. They actually have funerals for them.
Yeah.
So how is he burying people?
Historically, when they weren't able to identify somebody. So when it was just a leg or, you know, something like that, they would bury them there. And then at the end of the war, they would kind of do a tally of who they lost. And then that's how they would be like, I'm so sorry for your loss.
And then just take them the flag and nobody.
Right.
Copy.
So historically, that was a job that would go down to the Black soldiers, because it's not like a super.
It's like the cleanup. They always try to make, you know what?
It's a very tiring and non-glamorous job. And a lot of times, like in wars where Black people fought in the wars, they would do the very tiring jobs, and then they would get put on the front line and basically were just human shields for the rest of the army. So, not cool at all. But I digress. But so it does make Gravediggers, like him having a sense of morality and still feeling the need to give these people a proper burial. It does make his character, I feel like, really interesting. And even like him wanting to come back to Freeland, where it kind of started for him. And, you know, basically trying to free all of these metas from being tested on. There's definitely some double meaning here for that. I think the Black Lightning team is trying to
convey
to audiences.
Yeah.
Which they often do a really good job of. So snaps to them.
This one is just pretty interesting because it's like I'm with him. Like, I get it. Like, you know, do what you want to do. It's just, I'm not understanding why he wants them to move from Freeland to Markovia. And then you're powerful and you're all powerful. Why you got to destroy all of Freeland to get the metas? Why you can't just go and get the metas?
And you have the mind control.
Right. You could just go and get the metas. He's talking about all this stuff. Like, he literally sat there in that video for 10 minutes talking about how he's about to destroy Freeland.
Well, I think because it reminds me of activists who believe that in order for us to progress, we have to completely break down the patriarchy and start from scratch. And that's all fine and dandy, but oftentimes the people who are hurt from a situation like that are people of color, are women, are LGBT communities. And so while I get where Gravedigger is like, yeah, we need to just burn this mother down and start from scratch. I get that. But
it's your people who suffer the most.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he definitely reminds me, I feel like he definitely reminds me of like current day activists who are very like, we just need to go back to Mother Africa. And then, you know,
like Tobias vibes.
Yeah, some of the more extreme.
Tobias don't even like the people in Africa.
Or even some of the more extreme parts of the Black Panther Party that chose to, not all Black Panthers, but some who chose to go the more violent route to get their point across. Where it's like, I totally hear what your cause is and I agree with your cause, but the means of your cause and how you carry it out, I do not agree with. And I think that's my same sentiment for Gravedigger. But while he's doing all of this, Lynn is comparing Gravedigger's DNA to Jefferson's because she's trying to figure out why Jefferson, Anissa, and Jen are the only ones who are stable metas. And, you know, what the effects of Gravedigger taking this new serum that she's created, what exactly that means. And we find out that this is actually Jeff's great uncle.
Yeah, so your prediction about Brandon being his father or his son, that would mean that him and Jen are cousins and then they can't be a thing.
I'm okay with that, to be honest. I still kind of feel, and I'll save that for, I guess, predictions. I still feel like that's a possibility, and I'll explain why during predictions. But it definitely adds a level of, the entire conversation Lynn had with Jefferson, telling him that this is your great uncle, and also reminding him that I know you have a code and that's what I love about you, but this might be one that you're going to have to take out.
Yeah, because first of all, you always got a drink. This man.
I was thinking
always got a drink. He been stressed this season. This wine whole season, wine and cognac has been his two best friends. Like, he been, you know, taking it to the head a little bit because he, you know, real deal stress. Now, with him having a family member that is the actual villain, it's just like, do I really want to, you know, take out my people?
Yes, so
I
feel, he need to take it out. I'm sorry.
You think Gravedigger got to die?
He got to go. Well, what is this? Like, I don't feel bad for him because you're my great uncle who's first coming to kill my wife, my daughter, the but city that I love. He's not coming to kill them.
Sorry to this man.
He's coming to take the metas and free them in Markovia.
But, like you said, but why your way? Like, this is something behind it.
I think Gravedigger and Jefferson both represent like black liberation, and they're taking two very interesting points of like or directions on how to do it, because
like Malcolm and Dr. King.
Yes, yeah. Like Gravedigger is very like, we're forcing liberation. I'll take down my own people if I need to. I don't care. Like, because like for the few there are many, you know, I don't care who's in my way. Metas, black people are, you know, the goal. Whereas Jefferson's like, I'm about everybody, and I'm not trying to prioritize anyone. I'm trying to make sure we're all good, and mm-hmm. I don't want one group above another group. I want us all equal.
Yeah.
And like, black liberation is liberation for all and equality for all. So I think it's really interesting seeing, because they both have points in their own way, and there's definitely flaws in both methods, because, for instance, like, Gravedigger is trying to kill your family, basically, because your family is going to stand in the way of what he considers liberation. So if you don't take him out, he'll take y'all out. On the flip side, your Gravedigger is taking out his own people for the sake of this quote-unquote liberation. So it's like, it's very interesting. Like you said, it almost is like an MLK versus Malcolm X type of, you know, parallel.
Yeah, I get it, and then I don't. I feel like, since Gravedigger, okay, I get it. He has to go. He has to die. But I kind of am on the fence about that, because of his viewpoints and where he stands, and the reason why he's trying to get this revenge, the reason why he wants to go after, you know, the U.S. So I get it, but it's tough. Like, it's like, you know, a thin line that I don't know, like, where to be on the side of.
But if you think about it, he's punishing people who weren't even alive during what actually happened to him. That, you know what I'm saying? Too. Like, you're giving me a look, but hear me out. Realistically, World War II vets are in their, what, like, late 80s, 90s, like, or no longer with us.
They have the cute hats, and they're, like, moving also.
But, like, I'm saying, like, the vendetta that he's taking upon Freeland aren't the same people who did that to him.
Mm-hmm. So he needs to talk to Dr. Jace. He needs to be after the ASA.
So we get a lot of that at this point, because we got, you know, some of our people mm-hmm. going head to toe with people who ain't had nothing to do with nothing, you know, mm-hmm. with the whole, like, you know, maybe you derived from a family who were slave owners, and now I got an issue with you, that type of thing. They ain't had nothing to do with it, but they grandma, and grandpa did. So they on their heads about that. And then you have the, you know, the other kind of people who look at us as villains because of the way that their grandfathers and so on looked at us, and we ain't got nothing to do with it. And, you know, and that's why we got, you know, police brutality and some old stuff and all this black mass incarceration. And so it's like, it's real. It's a real thing. So it's like, I can't really be mad at him about that, because this is like the way people are kind of wiring it. I don't know if we can come to a solution of how to solve this, how to not take out our anger on the people that is around us, because just because they're there. But he kind of still has a point.
He has a point, but he doesn't have his execution. Like,
it's foul.
When you can have the right reasonings all day long, but when your execution's off, it completely invalidates your opinion.
Speak.
And so, like, in this case,
that's why I love you. You're so smart.
You know, I've been reading books or whatever. But no, his opinion is valid, but because he's choosing to tear down the people who he says he's liberating, it's kind of like, okay, well, who exactly are you liberating? Because if you're telling them they can't do this, that's not liberation.
Yeah.
That's oppression. This oppression that you're allegedly fighting, you're now pressing upon other people by making them go over here to Markovia when they don't want to go to Markovia.
Which was Porch's initial question. Yeah. Why
do we go to Markovia? Like, let's be free. Let's liberate. But can we be liberated where we want to be at?
Because
I go to LA if I want to? Can I go to Atlanta if I want to? Can I go back home to Detroit? And be with my people and my liberation.
I think some people think that, like, for instance, in the 60s when we were, when segregation started to go away and we started getting integrated together, some people felt like you should have kept us equal, But segregation should have stayed a thing. We should have the black schools, we should have the white schools. Let's just live amongst one another. Some people have that mentality.
I mean, it low-key did, because even though it's integrated, the black schools are still what they are. And then the white schools are what they are.
But so, you know? But naturally, you don't have to worry about a sense of... You don't... Well, the idea is you don't have to worry about a sense of oppression or anything because you're with your own people. But as we've seen historically, once you're only with your own people... There's still other ways of oppression within the black community. There's colorism, there's misogyny, there's homophobia, there's classism, there's ableism. So it's like we've still found a way to like oppress one another within our own community.
So human beings just suck.
I mean,
basically,
God wanted to send a comet, I'd get it. You know, like I wouldn't be mad at him. But I think that while I understand Gravedigger, and it is hard because it's like you're right. You know what I'm saying? They abuse you all. They don't treat you all as equals. They treat you almost like fighting dogs. I still don't think forcing people
to go to Markovia is a thing. Answer. Yeah, it ain't right.
And the stakes are really high, too, because the government's basically going to nuke this thing. They're going to light it up.
Yeah, they're going
to. If they can't defeat Gravedigger. And I love...
So much happened in this episode.
A lot.
So many conversations.
One of my favorite things about Black... Lightning is that they do drop so many history tidbits that I don't think we learn in schools. And tonight they dropped the Three Mile Island, and Portia and I were talking about what it was before that, and I pulled it up so I would have the exact year. In 1979, the Three Mile Island accident was a partial meltdown of a reactor number 2 in a nuclear generating station, and there was a lot of like speculation that they were actually covering up something else. There's never been proven, but you know how people like to talk. So
the U.S. bombing Freeland would be another cover-up of that sort.
Yeah, and then when they're like, oh, just be a nuclear, you know, meltdown, just like an accident. So I love that they dropped that little...
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Like tidbit, and there actually are a lot of interesting conspiracy theories on it, so you guys should go check it out, because there are some really interesting documentaries on
the country we live in.
But let's talk about something exciting.
Okay.
Grace and Anissa want to get married.
Okay, so not to ruin your parade, but you know, we have some active Black Lightning lovers on Twitter. And I forget whose names it is. I'm sure they'll be in my mentions tonight. But they said, Grace never said I love you back to Anissa. I guess in a scene, Anissa said I love you and Grace never said it back.
What?
I didn't catch that, but I feel like that's very believable.
I mean, maybe.
Whatever. They're getting married.
So you guys sold that Grace is really like Anissa's ride or die?
I think we've watched Grace slowly but surely become more vulnerable with her, and I think she doesn't necessarily have to say I love you, because I think her actions have said I love you.
Yeah, okay. I mean she definitely showed up out of nowhere on that bench that night after she was just the man for all them time, but anyway. And you know, they profess they love for each other then, and it has been an ongoing like profession of love. You know, Anissa took care of her when she was, you know, turning into the little girl being scared. She brought her back from the party crib and them, like, so they've been rocking with each other. And the conversation that they had with both of them, literally saying, I could do this for the rest of my life without saying, let's get married. It just like, it's like a thing with them. They do a lot in their actions, and they say, like, they talk a lot around their love without really saying what it is that we would say. But that's just the way that they express themselves to each other. So it's like, how can we try to judge that? They get married.
I'm glad that their story is moving forward. I feel like a lot of times writers will write in a cheating or another chaotic moment to make, you know, them fight for their love again. I'm glad that it's just going forward. Like, let's just move this along.
It's interesting, though, because they did write in, she got super strength now.
They did.
Which she does in the comics. And I was interested to see if we were going to get that because in the comics, she's half, like, Amazonian, and she's supposed to be, like, a lot taller. And obviously, Chantel Tui, who plays Grace, is not very tall. If you guys have been with us in season one, she came in here. She's actually quite small. So I was like, oh, is that not going to be a thing that we really get from her? But I do think because they kind of mentioned that she doesn't have any sibling or she doesn't think she has any siblings or any real family, I'm kind of hoping that means we're going to get to dive into
her backstory. Her backstory. And then family's going to come out the woodworks.
Yeah.
Meta family. Here we are.
Mm-hmm. I would like to see it.
Speaking of family, can we give some shout-outs to our chat?
Yes.
Yay. Okay, Nicholas Kelly, shout-out to you. ER Grandpa, Jazzy Jones, Lynn Forting. Okay, Gracie and Ryan, Mamba for Life Kid, Muta Forever, Tyrell Myrix, Erica Walker. Yeah, you guys are chatting it up per usual. We have 81 people on our stream. So
yes.
So make sure if you guys are watching, be sure to chat in the chat box. We want to hear you.
Yes. And then like the broadcast, you know, so that other people can know we on here. Subscribe.
Five stars on iTunes if you're listening.
5 stars on iTunes if you're listening.
Gang.
Okay.
Let's talk about all the little extra meta babies that we have taken care of over the TC.
Ooh, TC is getting spicy.
TC is getting spicy.
He said, let me shoot that shot.
Yes.
Okay. And the shot was taken.
She fell for it.
It went around the rim a couple times.
Okay.
But eventually it's not good.
Count it.
I'm scared for TC though. Don't kill my boy TC. Like,
he seemed a little gullible.
The first one out.
I'm so scared it's going to be either him or what's old girl's name?
Wendy. Erica.
I'm scared.
Where's Wendy?
Where is Wendy?
In the pod somewhere. They in pods.
Did you guys check Cutback News?
No.
It's been a minute.
Hold on.
She was on the first half for the whole season.
Where the hell are
her
these people?
Her and Harrison must have got caught together.
We're going to see her. Together.
Her and Officer Henderson.
Well, he got written off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he kind of just disappeared, but they must have got cut together. Damn. It was a two-for-one deal.
McDonald
said that specialist off the menu.
I didn't even think about Henderson. Are we just not going to get like a...
But a he just rescued all them people from the cages.
Yeah, are we not going to get a goodbye to Henderson?
That fish and chip special's off the menu tonight.
That makes me wonder if something actually did happen.
Yeah, there. It's a lot of answers that we need because, you know, Clapback was really out here letting everybody know what's going on. She need to be letting everybody know that Freeland is about to go into a war with the most powerful being on Earth.
Well, Black Mike Dean is very good at bringing everything together. So maybe we may not see it next week for the season finale, but I do feel like we're going to get some type of
Grace and Anissa's door, like,
resolution.
Anissa.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, back to the babies.
I'm scared for TC.
I'm scared for TC too. Erica, I'm not scared for her, but Gravedigger was blown away by her powers. He was looking at her, pushed through that door, and was like, oh, I need that.
See, I am scared for her because we haven't gotten to have that emotional connection with her quite yet, so she could be a character that we lose, but still, it's still a blow to the show, but it's like, and it's still like, oh, that sucks, but it's not... It's not a death that, like, we'll be crippled by.
Yeah, we won't be crippled, but we know Lynn loves her a lot.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't grown. She hasn't given us much outside of attitude. So it's kind of like,
right.
We don't really know you like that, sis.
And power up with bullets.
True. Yeah.
And then meanwhile, Brandon decided he's going to throw a whole temper tantrum. And so now he's got
this lady wrapped up in ropes while he playing the game.
Meanwhile, I watch my man play PS5. Just sitting there like, are we done yet?
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting.
To be honest with you guys, I'm kind of bored with his storyline. Like, it's been consecutive episodes of, where's Dr. Jace? Like, we're trying to build an army here. We're trying to save Freeland. I understand you're not really from here, so you don't really care. But it's just like, geez. Like, literally everything that comes out of your mouth is about Dr. Jace. And I just need...
Now it's his family and Dr. Jace.
Yeah, I just need him to have something more.
We'll see... I feel like last week I said I feel like Gravediggers is daddy. I still really feel like that because in this episode he was like not against what Gravedigger was standing for, and that's what he started arguing with Jefferson, and then he walked out And I feel like if we find out Gravedigger is his daddy, he might kind of try to help Gravedigger, or he might be the key to stopping Gravedigger.
I feel like if Gravedigger is his dad, that for me would just, I would be less interested in that. Like, I wouldn't care. Like, I would just be like, oh, really? I don't know. I just feel, maybe because then Jen and him would be over, and I feel like that brings a lot of viewers, or like a lot of like, you know, just like the mysterious aspect of, are they going to be together? I feel like just Gravedigger and Brandon together would just be, I don't know. I feel like it'll be lackluster.
I mean, I really loved his man bun. Like, I just couldn't get over it. That he was so cute tonight.
The bun was banging. I don't know where I was going to say the bun is bugging, but I was like, that doesn't make any sense. But anyway, it didn't stop Daenerys and Jon Snow from getting together just because they had a little family relation. So
I mean, who cares about five generations back?
What would that make Brandon? Their Jen's great-great-great-uncle or great-great-great-cousin?
Yeah. It's weird.
It's nasty. I'm not into it.
It's weird.
Yeah. But I'm still holding out for Khalil, and he's fighting. He is. But I don't...
Barely.
I don't want him and Jen together, but I do like the approach of seeing him have to take responsibility for who he is and fight himself.
Someone said Gravedigger can't be his dad. His dad has to have earth powers.
What are Gravedigger's initial powers?
Commanding.
Yeah, the brain thing and tactical skills. I forget what else.
Super strength. I don't know, but
I don't know either.
Gravedigger was looking at him like, you know, everybody. I think that was like a study to show, I guess, who's the most powerful and which powers that he want the most, because he can have them all at this point.
Or also with like that serum. What powers to absorb or take on to combat what they have.
You think he already got their powers from the serum, or he just... Like, how does one's powers get in that serum for him to inject himself?
She had taken samples from other metas, right, and combined it into that serum. So I think, like, he was just kind of like, when you're playing as another team, you study their footage to kind of see their moves, to see what they go to. So he was, like, studying the footage, see, like, what he needed. Because he knew how to come up against Jen. Because he laid her out real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, Jen, baby. Yeah. That whole time when she was like, why we got to get put in the back? Why I can't be on the front line of battle? You know, the people on the front line of battle are really the strongest. Well, most of the time. Most of the time, they are the strongest. And they are the ones who, if all else fails, they will be what you need to get the team through. And then we can go from there. And I was riding with her, like, you know, put her on the front line. Lo and behold, was an instant knockout.
I disagree. I think the people that get put on the front line are the first to go. They're the ones who are meant to wear down the opponent. And then you take in stronger, more valuable players and you follow it up with them. You know, you have the people. That's why they used to put disabled people, people of color, whoever on the front line in wars, because those lives weren't in their eyes as valuable, so those people could wear down the opposite opponent, and then the stronger forces would come through and then light that ass up.
Right.
Interesting.
I feel like with Gravedigger fighting Jen first, and she's the most powerful of all the metas, is pretty unsettling, to say the least.
Right. I'm with you.
He didn't need that now.
Yeah. But let me tell you something. As a true daddy's girl, there are a few things in life scarier than a man who's mad because you were effing with their kids. So at the end of this episode, we saw Jefferson, and he's big mad.
He had to resuscitate his daughter.
Yeah. And the way he got up and, like... He, like, summoned all of it. I was like, ooh, daddy man.
That preview looked like he was losing the fight.
I didn't even watch the preview.
I did. And, well, can I give you a spoiler from the preview?
Yeah, go ahead. It was the preview.
The Markovians took Jen.
Portia's so upset.
Whoa. I mean,
they like carried her, like each person take a limb and like, well, she was still attached, but you know,
amen. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like four people.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
But obviously, I mean, I'm not scared.
I mean, no one dies on this show, so you know, she's not gonna die.
Right. No one dies on this show.
Yeah, let's talk about that actually, because Lady Eve.
One's back in the shadow board.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot going on. She set Gambi up.
She set Gambi up. She gave him the briefcase and then told Odell, I can tell you where the briefcase is. So now Odell's going to come blow up Gambi's spot. Which I hope that he has another one, because this is just a free-for-all. This is no longer the safe trap, Gambi. Like, you have to have another one.
How important is that briefcase now? Because we all know what's in it. Unless there's, I mean, I imagine there's probably other secrets.
I mean, and it's not so much not knowing what's in it. It's actually having the contents of what's in it.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Lala storyline. What do you guys think of where that's going? Like, where is Tobias? Like,
okay. I don't know what's going on with that. I was just ready to see him and Thunder go down.
I know. I was like.
Because she rolled up on him like, all right, Lala. And what is homeboy doing with these electrocution guns?
He was not about
it. He was
it.
Ready too, yeah.
I was like, I really like the weird tension between Thunder and Lala. I was like, I don't know if I want y'all to fight or make out or, I mean, fight because, you know, Grace. But
I was like, fight because, you know, Grace.
I was into it, though. I was like, yeah, let's see this. Because really, what does Lala have? He can come back? Like, that's about it. But, yeah, I hope we see something a little bit more with Lala and Tobias, but I feel like we're going to have to wait till season 4 to really get that to come together.
Yeah. The wedding really didn't happen, y'all.
No, like, literally. Wait, why is Gambi an ordained minister? Like, what can't Gambi do?
What can't Gambi do? It's the question.
I wonder if he tailored their suits, because those suits were fresh.
Cute.
They were cute.
He did.
Yeah, he probably did. He probably really did. I kind of wonder if it's going to be like, you know, in Pirates of the Caribbean when Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley's characters are doing the vows while they're fighting everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's going to be like that.
Mm, that's spicy.
Or while they're fighting. Interesting. They say their vows. I'd be into it.
I don't know. Well, we do have a little news and gossip. Speaking of the, people. I'm talking about the people. But Anissa, so Nafisa is actually having a Fundamental of Acting workshop. It's a 2-day incentive for people in the Philly, New Jersey area. She said Delaware. If you're in that area, go on ahead to Philly this weekend. Make sure you cop them tickets first. And then you're going to have a whole thing. She's going to be explaining her journey, how she got into acting, where she's going next. She's going to give you a blueprint. And it's going to be 2 days. So on Saturday and Sunday, March 7th and 8th, you're going to get a full acting fundamental, basically retreat weekend. All from Nafisa. So shout out to her for that.
Yes.
For sharing her gifts and putting on for the city.
I don't think we have time for OMBLs this week, so make sure you guys put your OMBL moments in the comments, but let's do predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Black Lightning is going to have to make his first official kill, and it's going to be Gravedigger, possibly Tobias, possibly Lala too, at this point.
I think Lynn's going to kill Gravedigger.
Ooh,
or she's going to be the one to at least knock him out enough for her family to escape to safety.
She gonna put all them serums in her. She going to be a meta for a day just for him.
Two hours.
She going to get swole. I think we are not only going to have to worry about Gravedigger next week, because if you guys remember, Painkiller took over this episode and he is coming for the Pierces. So I think whatever happens next week, they're also going to have to come over the obstacle that is Painkiller.
Yeah, about him.
So we will have
to. And we're going to see Tobias. Like, I think they always, in all the finales that we've seen so far, they give us, like, a little piece of every storyline.
Mm-hmm. I'm real deal sad with this Painkiller thing. Like, when he was slamming on the door and said, no, no, I felt that so deep. Because I'm like, no, no. Like, how did we get here? He going to make Gina kill him.
We'll have to see. But until next time, guys, let them know where they can find you all.
Well, guys, thanks for watching. I'm Portia Carter. You can find me on all things at Portia Carter.
You can find me on all things at Zuri Shilly.
And I'm your girl, Drew Jones. You guys can follow me on all the things at OK Drew J. Shout out to our girl, Lanisha. She'll be back next week, and we'll see you all then.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.